Don't forget when you come in to the hall that the Bibles are at the back there if you ever want to have your own copy of the NIV Bible. And for people who've got a copy, this reading comes from Galatians 5, verses 16 to 21 on page 1222 in the Bible. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I say, live by the Spirit. May God add his blessing to the reading.
Please join in prayer. Please pray. Oh Lord, we want to thank you that you are God who speaks to us, that you are a God of revelation, that you are a God who will shine a light on our way, that you are the good shepherd who speaks to his sheep. And so, Lord, as Ron comes and brings to us your word this day, we pray that you would empower him and inspire him, that you would put your words on his lips and take them to our hearts and use them to change our lives. Allow Ron to give the message this morning that is directly from you for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Do we have any blue supporters in the house? Raise your hands high. Well, I want to congratulate your team. And I just want you to know that now you have just a small insight of how we feel when we win the series each year. Just a small insight. This morning I woke and I had my prayer time and I sensed this overwhelming sense that I was unworthy to preach God's word this morning. And so I prayed that the Lord would fill me with his Spirit. And I still feel that now. Our theme is walking in the Spirit day by day. On Saturday, the 24th of February, I went to the medical center and the doctor said that I had symptoms of pneumonia. The very next day, Sunday the 25th, I went back to the doctor because I couldn't sleep during the night. And I should have rung the ambulance, but I forgot all about the ambulance. And the doctor said that I had cellulitis. So I had an IV for the antibiotics. Monday the 26th, the next day, I went back to the doctor for the second IV. Blood pressure was 85 over 55, so the doctor sent me to hospital. By this time, I was in a lot of pain. Wednesday the 28th, the doctors found that I was hemorrhaging, and I was looking, Grant Murray verifies, it was his words, said that I was looking like I was standing at death's door. Thanks, Grant. On Thursday the 29th, the medical team doctor decided to disregard the cellulitis and focus on the ulcers in my abdomen. Scans later revealed that I had 8 ulcers. On Monday the 5th of March, I started the blood transfusions, and there were 8 in all. On Wednesday the 7th of March, they found the appropriate antibiotics to deal with my cellulitis. By that time, my leg had swollen. It was huge and it was hot. You could cook on it. Saturday, the 9th of March, the 8 gastric ulcers were removed and I watched it on camera. They put a tube down and it was like going through underwater caves. And I watched it and I said, bah, 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 bah. And so the thing just grabbed it and then shot it with adrenaline. And then we went, right, where's the next one? And I passed out after the 8th one. On Monday the 11th of March, I was released from prison. I give thanks to God for your prayers, for your visitations, for your phone calls, for your gifts of food, and for your love for Lofi and my children and I. In hospital, the nurses were very good. They were mainly Philippines. I don't know what's happened to the Kiwi nurses, but the Philippines, it was great talking with them. Most of them are Christian. They're Catholic, if that's the same thing. But there was one nurse who really tested me. And on the pole that has the IV, there's this huge thing where the IVs go through. And they were moving me and taking me to have some more scans. And the nurse took that and she said, I put her in a bed between your legs. I said, okay. And she dropped it on my leg. It was absolutely painful, and I could just picture myself reaching out to her and grabbing her and strangling her. Then there was my folder, the thick folder. It was quite heavy by this time. And she said, I just put it in between your legs in a bed. And I said, be careful. And lo and behold, you wouldn't believe it, she dropped it on the same leg. And I started to go forward to say something to her. And then the senior nurse said, Pastor, what a wonderful role model patient you are. And then I just laid back. That's when she said, Pastor, never mind the other stuff. When she said pastor, I thought, oh my goodness, I can't say anything now. Today's message comes out of my hospital experience, but also from my New Year's resolution, which was to lose weight. During the very first week of this year, I prayed that God would help me to lose weight. And then one night while praying, a voice inside me said, you've got a nerve. And I remember thinking, very clear, what? What's going on? I'm praying here. And then I continued to pray. The voice came back even stronger. How dare you? God gives you your body to do his work. And you abuse it by overeating and not doing any exercise. And now you ask God to help you lose weight. Is that all you think this is about? Weight loss? Are you serious? You've abused the temple of God. And not once have you repented to God for what you've done. I cried. And I cried and I cried when I realized what I had done. That night, I asked God to forgive me for the years. We're not just talking about one or two. We're talking about the years of abuse to his temple. It was taking its toll already. I was struggling to stand even for 20 minutes to preach. My right side would go numb, and afterwards I would have to sit down as I became breathless. Lofi, Ann and I went to Sydney for a holiday. But it was a working holiday. I did not give my body enough time to rest. And not long after we returned, I was admitted to hospital. The theme of today's sermon, walking in the Spirit day by day, is born out of this whole experience. I could hardly walk from my hospital bed to the bathroom, from my hospital bed to the reception desk. I would be walking with Lofi and perspiration is pouring off my forehead. And then people ask me, "Oh, and how are you?" And I was Christian upbringing. I'm fine. But I was dying. I was dying. My rehab was to be walking one step at a time and walking in the Spirit of God. I have a second chance now. And I've told God that I will do my utmost to look after his temple. The churches in Galatia had abandoned Paul's ministry. Did you believe what you were hearing in the Bible reading? In Galatians 5:15 it says, they had begun biting one another. They had begun biting. Can you picture that? They had begun biting one another. And they were devouring one another. Chapter 5, verse 26 says, they were provoking and envying one another. This is how bad the situation in the Galatian churches had become. They were not walking in the Spirit because the power of the flesh dominated their lives. They needed a new anointing of God's Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you a question now, and I hope that you can answer me truthfully. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is a person? Hands up those who know that. Oh, that's not bad. Here's the second question. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is waiting to be depended upon? That's slightly different. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is waiting to be depended upon? I'll plant that there for now. Walking in the Spirit is trusting. It's about trusting. It's not about trying. It's about trusting in God. Paul says it's God's desire that we walk and live in the Spirit. God's Spirit gives us the power to say no to sin. We all came into spiritual life through the Holy Spirit. We were convicted of sin and we were brought to repentance and submission by the Holy Spirit to the Lordship of Christ. We were regenerated by the Holy Spirit. What's another word for regenerated? What's another word for regenerated? Reborn? Renewed? Talk to me. Reborn, renewed, revived. I'm looking for a particular word that I think wraps the whole thing up nicely. Reborn, renewed, revived, changed. Refreshed. Oh, thank you. Who was that lovely? Who was that beautiful person that said that? The word I'm looking for is we were recreated. Recreated into new life. And faith was energized in us so that we would respond to the preaching of the gospel. We were baptized into the body of Christ. He gave us spiritual, starts with a G, spiritual growth, G-I, gifts. Sorry, it's just going to take forever. He gave us spiritual gifts. Here's the beauty of this. He gave us spiritual gifts and then he sealed us in. He sealed us in for eternal life and separated us from sin. And all of that is the monumental work of the Spirit, lifting us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. So how do we live on the spiritual level? How do we live on the spiritual? How do we get to that point where we're not looking for human solutions, but we're looking for supernatural and spiritual answers? Well, in Galatians 5, Paul gives an answer that we all need, because essentially we have the same problem as the Galatians. Now, the key to Christian living is a Holy Spirit-controlled life that's victorious and triumphant. And only the Holy Spirit can harness the fallen flesh. I'll explain. Our difficulties, all of our problems, all of them are related to the flesh. What is the flesh? The Greek word sarxin, S-A-R-X-I-N, or sarxor, S-A-R-X-O-R, take your pick, are very important terms in New Testament teaching. Sometimes the word sarxor, which is flesh, can refer to the physical body. For example, in Romans 6:19, it talks about the weakness of our flesh, that in our bodies we're weak. But it's also used in Romans 7:5 when it says, before we were saved, we were in the flesh. In other words, we were in these bodies trying to work out our own way. Every wrong action, folks, this is important. Every wrong action, every wrong word, idea, wrong reaction, every wrong emotion, attitude is from the flesh. Every difficulty in life is a result of our humanness. And the answer lies in the redemption of the body. The flesh, basically, the flesh is our problem. The reason we have anxiety, the reason we have fear, terrible relationships, is the flesh. The reason we have difficulty in marriage and problems in the family, cooperating with other people, is the flesh. The reason we have pride. Hands up those who have pride. And some of, like me, have got bucket loads of pride. It's the flesh. It's the flesh. All sin of every form, all come out of the flesh. Paul talks about it in Romans 7. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Why, Paul? And Paul says, it is sin that's in me. Where is it, Paul? And in Romans 7:14, he says, it's in my flesh. In my flesh. He means his spirit has been changed, but there's a new man inside of him, but it's living in an old house. We must find some means to subdue the flesh. And scripture brings us to Galatians 5, verse 16. And I would like to call this the command. But I say, this is what verse 15 says, 16 says. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And there it is. Doesn't it sound so simple? That's the baseline truth for all Christian living. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. What a statement. This is no oversimplification, dear friend. This is the Word of God. This is the mind of God. The flesh must be subdued. The flesh wants to control you. I don't know if some of you know that. The flesh wants to control you. It wants to have you think and feel bad. It wants to create anger and hostility and bitterness and jealousy and envy. It wants to make you doubt God. It wants to take love out of your heart and replace it with hatred. It wants to make you useless to God. The only hope of overcoming it is to walk in the Spirit. You cannot offer a human solution for a spiritual problem. Now, the word walk is a progressive present tense command that can be translated keep on continually walking. And the idea here is that the life of a Christian unfolds one day at a time, one step at a time, walking under the control of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I've found since my time in hospital, I remember distinctly and very clearly how much I struggled just walking. It took me forever to be able to walk from my room to the entrance of the ward. And I was walking so slowly. And I remember thinking to myself, my goodness, I have never been in this situation where I'm struggling to walk. I'm struggling to breathe. All the things that I took for granted. And this simple task of just walking, I was struggling. But then when I look back upon it, I realized that if I walk the way I used to while I was walking in the hospital, I could learn something from that. What do you think I learned from that? When you struggle to walk, if you've had an operation and you're walking very slowly, what happens? What do you think can happen to you spiritually if you think about it in its connection terms? Yes. Thank you, my brother. You become humble. You walk slowly and you start thinking, if I live my life walking one step at a time, I'm going to be relying on God to help me with my next step. And therefore, I'm actually living out submitting to God, yielding moment by moment to God, which is what God wants. And when we yield moment to moment with God, we put aside the, starts with the F, the flesh. So what we've decided now in our family is from now on, any new project or any new task or any job that someone wants me to do, I now say to them, look, I will get back to you in 24 hours. And then I'm to talk to Luffy about it. And it's not as if I need to have her permission. That's what you may think. But really, it's something like that. It's a matter of her and I discussing, because she also helping me to monitor what I can and what I cannot do. And so this then comes back. It's that moment by moment, that one step at a time, that slow walk. And as you walk slowly, you're thinking about what you can and cannot do. You can't be tempted if you're walking slowly, because you can't do anything. Who are you relying on? You're relying on the Holy Spirit. You're relying on God. And I learned this huge lesson from my experience in the hospital. So what does this involve? Well, it involves two things. Studying the Word of God so that you know the mind and the will of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 says, be being kept filled with the Spirit. And a parallel passage, Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Being filled with the Spirit is like letting the Word dwell in you richly. Because as the Word dominates your thinking, it dominates your action. Listen, let's look at Paul's action. Paul said, I die daily. What do you think he meant by that? I die daily. It means that he gives himself to the Lord. It's about the Lord. It's not about him. And he continues. He says, every day I have to kill myself and walk in the Spirit. And we have a walking Christian life. It's a daily, step by step, moment by moment, yielding to the Spirit of God. I want to conclude with this. Verse 16 is an absolute monumental verse. You can take all of Christian living and reduce it to this. You can take all the commands of the New Testament and reduce it to this. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. He is walking. He is leading. He's saying, walk the same path. The Spirit of the Almighty God is in you, folks. It's alive. It's moving, and you and I are to follow. But remember, this is the beauty of the Holy Spirit. Remember what the Spirit offers us. His Spirit brings us into intimacy with God. God's Spirit illuminates the Bible. So we know exactly what God calls us to do. God's Spirit glorifies Christ to us, both as our authority and as our example. So we know how to live and whom to be like. His Spirit guides us as he moves through our conscience to do God's will. Shall we pray? Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us. Holy Spirit, come and saturate our lives, our thoughts, our hearts with your presence. Heal our hearts and our lives. Cleanse our thoughts and our minds. Come to us. Holy Spirit, fall on us and drench us with your love. Fill our lives with your peace. Holy Spirit, flow and lead us in your will. Flow through us. Help us to experience you in mighty, mighty ways. This is our prayer. And we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.